yesterday in the markets, if you follow the head of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, he was speaking, might have been in Chicago, I'm not sure, and talked about maybe the persistence of inflation as it relates to tariffs, and the market just tanked. The NASDAQ down 3%, 2.25% in the S&P, and 1.75% in the Dow. And today's a mixed picture, but the president sort of taking a shot this morning on Truth Social, basically calling Jerome Powell too late and wrong is basically his nickname for him. And he wants him out at the Fed, and he wants him to cut rates as soon as possible. And it's hard to make sense of everything that is actually going on related to all the things that are announced and changed and modified. So we continually search and seeking out clarity on this stuff, and we're grateful for the chance to talk to Professor Fred Carstensen, Professor of Finance and Economics at UConn, also the Director of the Connecticut Center for Economic Analysis. Professor, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you. Nice sunny morning.
Yeah, it's nice to have some decent weather, for sure. It's been a rough spring, both economically and meteorologically. Listen, in terms of just, I wanted to start it generically because it's hard. I have some more specific questions, but what's your overall, like, 30,000 feet view of what's going on economically in our world?
Disaster, pure and simple. It freezes everything. In the face of uncertainty, businesses need a fairly long time frame in order to make any commitments and plans. They work out, you know, often strategies over 3, 5, 7, even 10 years. And in the presence of uncertainty, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know whether tomorrow more tariffs are going to come on, tariffs are going to come off. Are your supply chains going to get disrupted? What you do is you simply do nothing. I have a quote on my email signature, in fact, from a Judge Mansfield in 1765. There's nothing more dangerous for business than uncertainty. Yep. The whole point about the development of rule of law and the constitutional system was very much about the economy, was let's give a very stable framework so businesses know what to expect. Right now, they have no idea what to expect. And so what you do is you freeze.
Yeah.
You stop your projects. You don't hire. You don't make any, sign off any commitments. The bond market actually was frozen for the last couple of weeks for lower credit rated companies. They've done one deal for a big natural gas exporting company, but everything else has just been frozen.
You know,
This is very, very, we've never seen anything quite like this in recent American economic history.
You know, we've made the point on the show that, you know, who's going to invest billions to build a factory when things change every other day? And I think that that's a very relevant point. A lot of my friends in the M&A world were very hopeful for this administration, thought there'd be a ton of activity, and there's been a trickle, as you just mentioned. Now, we're talking with Fred Carstensen, Professor of Finance and Economics at UConn. And I want to take a step back, you know, in terms of all these different changes and modifications on tariffs. Are they actually being, like, are we actually taking money in? I don't even know how it works. And where does that money go? And do you have any sense of the actual, like, ergonomic logistics of how this works?
Well, right now, of course, a lot of tariffs have not yet been applied, and they're talking about applying them. And, of course, the straightforward dynamics is when goods arrive in the country that are subject to tariff, the tax has to be paid. It's a sales tax. It's just like, you know, when you check out from a store and, you know, on your receipt, you see there's some sales taxes. You pay the sales tax when you buy the products or services. And the tariff works exactly the same way. When the stuff arrives, they pay for it. Now, who absorbs the cost is always an open question. Historically, about 90% of the cost gets passed through to customers. Moreover, domestic American competitors actually raised their prices. In the first Trump administration, they put a heavy tariff on washing machines and dryers. And American manufacturers raised their prices about 90% of the tariff impact. So the prices went up whether they were imported or not. And the other thing that people should realize is that it's an enormously integrated world. The Brookings Institution did an analysis of American manufactured goods. 90% of so-called American-made goods had Chinese raw material or Chinese components. We're a profoundly integrated world. All of our cars are made internationally. China sends parts. Canada and Mexico play a big part in assembling them. The big BMW factory in South Carolina, which is the biggest factory, has the largest production of BMWs in the world, but it gets its transmissions from Germany. So it's enormously integrated,
right.
And these tariffs are just tearing up that whole set of relationships and your ability to know what's going to cost you to make things.
So
you don't know how to price them,
yeah.
And so you just freeze.
I only have
because you don't know what actually is going to work.
I only have 3 minutes here, and I have two questions that I think are really important. We're talking with Fred Carstensen, professor of finance and economics, and I'm grateful for the time. My first question is, if we don't have – I mean, I do think that – I mean, people should understand that having a trade deficit with some countries is unavoidable, and it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. So, you know, putting aside all that, there are probably some trade situations that aren't ideal for the United States, and maybe people have – other countries have taken advantage of us to be our allies and so on and so forth. But if we wanted to change things and have a more fair trade dynamic with a unit of countries or a country, how would you go about it if this isn't the way to do it?
Well, the most obvious one historically was the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was between 13 countries around the Pacific Rim, precisely to respond to some of the manipulation of which China is legitimately guilty. And tragically, Trump pulled us out of that. The other countries went ahead and signed off on that. So there's this Canada, Mexico, Australia, Japan, they all have a trade agreement that helps them to respond to China. You can't do this alone. You need allies. You need friends. And, of course, the irony is that President Trump has chosen to punish our friends much more than our enemies. I mean, it's the most bizarre approach to trying to deal with it.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to get to this because I'm going to get cut off at 8 o'clock straight up. The president has said, wait till the fall. We have some medicine to take. Things might be tough. Where do you think this will all be in the fall?
Well, my fear is, given that all the other things that are going on, you know, all of the cuts with federal employment, all the disruption in our services, I am with Jamie Dimon and, you know, people who are much more prominent than I am. I think there's a very high risk that we're going to be in a recession before the end of the year. That's the reality.
Listen, I appreciate the insight, Professor, and I know you're busy with the end of term and so on and so forth, and maybe we can continue the conversation. I don't mean to interrupt you. I wasn't trying to be rude. I'm under a time constraint here, and I want to get the most out of you.
No, I understand, but delighted that you reached out to me, and I would be happy to come back anytime you need some clarification on what's going on.
Awesome. Thank you, Professor. Have a great day.
Thank you.